this is Pat Wooters. I'm director of the Dundee UNESCO Center, and we're going to have a chat today with Mova, one of our PhD students who is studying water and sanitation services from a legal perspective. And what we'd like to do, Mova, is to have a conversation, really, about good governance in the water and sanitation services sector. And I'd like to really go over this recent report, the Dundee Water and Sanitation Services in Europe, Do Legal Frameworks Provide for Good Governance? We'll call it the Dundee Good Governance Report, shall we, on water and sanitation services in Europe. And what I find interesting about the report, it provides a legal framework for looking at good governance issues, but it's a comparative European report. So I'm wondering, in your work, could you tell us a little bit about your work and some of the things you're doing? Because it's on Indonesia, it's beyond Europe. So what I'm interested in examining is, does this report and the legal approach taken help you with your work, and how is your work building on this work? Say, from a case study in Indonesia, Mova.
Thank you, Professor. I'm doing my PhD on how legal framework could improve transparency in water utilities regulation. The Dundee Good Governance Report analyzes not only transparency, but also participation and access to justice. So I'm basically taking some part of the Dundee research and improve it further in order to be operationalized in Indonesia and compare it across three different jurisdictions.
Right, so on that point then, Mova, I'm interested to know whether, I see the highlights of the legal framework that Monica's used in the Dundee Good Governance Report. She talks about transparency, public participation, and access to justice as the three hallmarks of a good governance framework. Do these hallmarks work for you? Are you examining these?
Yes, absolutely. I'm examining these. It's just that my focus is more on the transparency and looking to operationalize that further into details, and that can be enabled. But there's, of course, the other two elements, which is participation, access to justice, and accountability, is all the hallmarks of good governance. And what's unique about our Dundee Good Governance Report is that this is probably the very first endeavor to test and to analyze how legal framework can enable good governance, because we've been talking a lot about good governance role in water utilities, but what can the law do? What can the law brings to in order for it to be realized? Mm-hmm. That's the unique point of it.
Yeah, I'm wondering if you could give us a bit of a flavor of some of the challenges you face in Indonesia and the region, because I think the report does a nice comparative study across Europe, mm-hmm. but what are the special challenges in Indonesia when you're looking at good governance, and how is your work addressing some of those challenges? Tell us a bit about Indonesia and the challenges there.
Right. Well, Europe is pretty much sophisticated when it comes to regulation, and the challenges of water resources and services are different. You've got clean rivers in Europe, but in Jakarta, I say over 13 rivers, only one is healthy. And we were inherited by authoritarian regimes, so we had democracy just only recently, a few years ago, and you probably have democracy since quite a long time. Mm-hmm. So then there are differences there. But still, the three elements which is evaluated in the Dundee Good Governance Report is relevant even to Indonesia. What makes it different is only how it is operationalized, because legal systems are unique. Mm-hmm. Each country is different. Mm-hmm. But there are certain, I mean, we have problems with participation. Mm-hmm. We have problems with transparency. Contracts are not published. In Jakarta, contracts are not published, and now the NGOs are seeking for the contracts to be published. Mm-hmm. Whereas in our good governance report, we can see that contracts are beautifully published in France, for example, and people can have access to contracts everywhere. So we're taking the lessons from these more advanced countries and trying to implement them into countries which you do not have. Mm-hmm. And in the past, this has not been realized. Mm. In the past, people are investing without taking into account of good regulatory governance. Mm. So like, people are not taking into account in the decision-making process. Are we going to privatize? Are we going to use public utilities? People are not taking into account. And partly because we don't have democracy back then, we do now. Mm-hmm. So that's where the contribution lies there.
So it's an exciting time to be an Indonesian water lawyer on service and sanitation. Can you tell me, I know that some of your work, and certainly the Dundee Good Governance Report, looks at the notion of corruption and transparency. And I would guess that there must be a fairly strong legal tradition and foundation across Europe for corruption and transparency. I know there are still problems. You know, Europe is certainly not it doesn't come across perfectly in all of those areas, but this must be a real challenge in your region. Could you tell us a bit about your research on corruption, transparency, and how the work that we've done in the Dundee Good Governance Report might or might not translate into Indonesia? What have you found?
Transparency is the least cost method in order to battle, to combat corruption.
What do you mean? What does that mean?
That means repressive projects. I mean, we are combating corruption by introducing harsh punishment. It doesn't always work out.
No.
But transparency is preventive and also could be repressive in terms of enforcing the law.
Mm-hmm.
So the least cost method of combating corruption is through transparency, by publishing contracts,
mm-hmm.
by ensuring that people are taking into account in the decision-making process,
mm-hmm.
that people would know everything, and then that would lessen the cost of enforcement. Now, I would like to take an example in France,
mm-hmm.
which is also reported in the Good Governance Report. Now, France has a good practice of publishing contracts. It was actually quite new because of this Laws à Peine law.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have that law in Jakarta, for example. We don't have it.
Mm.
Another thing is that in France, concession contract is regarded as an administrative contract. So then, by default, it's a public document.
Mm-hmm.
But in Indonesia, we don't have that concept in our administrative law. So what happens in France cannot be directly implemented in Indonesia. We need some sort of adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
All we can do is probably, okay, we can remain to have a concession contract, which is not per se administrative contract. We use legislation in order to enable transparency.
Mm-hmm.
And we use, also in the Dundee Good Governance Report, we use non-judicial bodies in order to accept claims from water customers, for example.
Or administrative bodies.
Or administrative bodies.
Tribunals. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. Oh, that's interesting. Now, I'm going to divert a bit. This is covered in the Good Governance Report, but I know also that you have been invited as an authority to several sessions, important sessions around the world, on water as a human right, the whole legal regulatory issues around water services and sanitation and water as a human right. I find that's a fascinating area. What can you share with us about that?
Yes, Professor. I was invited to participate in the Geneva process leading to the human right to water. That was a very exciting process. I met with a lot of stakeholders there. It was very participatory, including from the private sector and the NGOs and the academias and activists. But you know what, Professor?
Mm.
It turns out that it doesn't matter whether it is public or private. The human right doesn't tell public or private. What really matters is the good governance. So that's what we are doing actually now with the research. We are enabling human rights through good governance. So this is very relevant. So this is our project in good governance, and human rights cannot be delivered unless the countries have good governance.
Well, I think that's an interesting observation. And I know when you were presenting in Stockholm, you had the private sector and the public sector after you for a bit more information on this. I'm looking forward to your research on this topic to help clarify issues on water as a human right, especially I think is very relevant to water services and sanitation. Now, let's get into the research a bit more. On the Good Governance Report, I think one of the highlights is the importance of information and public participation.
Yeah.
Now, certainly sharing information and public participation must be a big issue in what you're looking at.
Hmm.
Could you tell us a bit more about Indonesia and some of your research in that area?
Yeah. In terms of information, in Europe, the regulatory system is quite advanced in that the regulators are enabled by the legal framework in order to acquire information from the utilities. So they can ask anything from the utilities, they can inspect their files, whatever there is. That's what we don't have in Indonesia, in Jakarta.
Hmm.
So that we have a problem. The regulators don't know if you cheat on them. The second part of information is how that information is being disclosed to stakeholders.
Mm.
Again, Europe have the Sapin law, just like what happened in France. And then we have also the case of England and Scotland, where the role of legal framework is to enable transparency by providing discretion to the regulators to publish decisions and to provide reasoning for their decision.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have to regulate everything. Sometimes the law can work as an enabler by providing discretion on the part of the regulators.
I think, thank you, Mova. I think that's a very interesting observation. I think it highlights some of the contribution that the Good Governance Report, the Dundee Good Governance Report, makes, because it looks at a comparative system across Europe. And across Europe, we have distinctive approaches on legal frameworks.
Yes.
And each of them contributes, you know, some strengths and some weaknesses. So I trust that your work is going to identify, scrutinize the European practice.
Yes.
And see what might work in Indonesia, because we're very much at the beginning of an interesting process across Indonesia. And you might, in fact, be one of the authors or the creators.
Yes.
Of the new transparency.
Yes.
Across Indonesia. Now, let's wrap up. What would you say is the key contribution of the Good Governance Report? What are you taking from this in your research, and how are you going to build upon this so that you can help design a system that will work in Indonesia on water services and sanitation? Tell me more of this contribution, and
okay.
Highlight how you're building on the Good Governance Report from Dundee.
Okay. The Good Governance Report outlined, for example, in terms of transparency, there are four or five analytical framework we can use. So it's how regulatory decision has to be published, what are the reasonings behind regulatory decision, whether we have access to information or not. Now, my work is a lot more detailed than that. So I'm trying to operationalize that and implement that in practice. Let's just call it, for example, a transparency due diligence or something like that, transparency due diligence. So before we conduct an investment in water services, what legal frameworks are there available for transparency? So I'm looking in more details and also developing more broader than that. So I look also, for example, transparency in procurement process, which is not covered on the Dundee Good Governance Report, but I build on that further. Also the elements of transparency, like clarity of rules and regulation, for example, which is also not outlined there. So I did try to develop it further and try to put that in the case. So if there are two things perhaps which we could consider should be improved, is the good governance. We should have some sort of good governance due diligence, and it comprises one of them is the transparency due diligence, which is part of the good governance due diligence before we undertake investment in water services.
Okay, good. And finally, I know that you met with some SUEZ representatives and have worked with their stakeholder group. Could you tell me how that's enhanced your research and how you're going to take that into the future?
Yeah. They have been very helpful and very open in assisting my research. I met with the director of SUEZ in Jakarta, and I also had contact with the director of SUEZ in Paris, who then contacted me with Jakarta. So I'm hoping that we can improve this further and apply it on a case, because we still have a lot of opportunities for investment in the future, and we still not have undertaken what is the institutional endowment, what is the legal framework available to make investment in water services successful. So before we undertake that, so I think private parties also needs to conduct some sort of due diligence or something like that. That's probably in the future.
Good. Thank you very much, Moba. It's been a delight to talk with you today. Thank you.
Thank you, Professor.